哎呀，I've had one of those experiences with the scriptures in the last couple of days, and I began to realize, you know, Jesus said, the kingdom of God is within you. You know what he said? Back in Matthew 13, verse 33, another parable spoke he unto them, the kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal till the whole was leavened. Psalm 19:7. The word of God is perfect, converting the soul. What happens if the meal, it's not that the word of God is leavened. That's not what it said, but it's like it. And if it's put in where it's supposed to be put, it will develop until everything in there is leavened. Now that is not really, this is only a part of what I began to understand. What happens when you keep hearing the word, you keep hearing the word? It's like leaven. It's not leaven, but it's like leaven. And it saturates every part of the being because it has a propensity or the action of something like leaven. Are you following what I'm saying? In the next verse, or the next setting, is in the 16th chapter of Matthew in verses 6. It starts in 6. 16:6. Jesus said unto his disciples, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. You that can cook, which is, excuse me, have a pretty good idea of the activity of leaven or yeast. When I was a little guy, and I don't know why, if yeast was hard to come by, I don't remember why, but I remember that my mother and my grandmother and some of the ladies would, they'd mix up something. It was like a yeast. And they'd take it. Some would take, you know, they'd all take part of it. Are you know what I'm talking about?
A starter.
And then they could use it for a long time. A little would go a long ways. And so a little yeast, okay? So now, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Now, I don't know why they reacted like they did, but they said, they reasoned among themselves and said, it is because we didn't take any bread with us. And it's like, I'm thinking, how did they come to that conclusion? And when Jesus perceived, he said unto them, O ye of little faith, why do you reason among yourselves because ye have brought no bread? Do you not understand, neither remember the 5 loaves and the 5, all the, you know, the miracles that he has performed? How is it that ye understand that I spoke not to you of, as in verse 11, concerning bread, that ye should be aware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees? Then they understood. Well, anyway, and then I begin to understand. What is the problem with he was talking about the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Now, I'm going to give you a strange little testimony, but when we were in that first church this Ethel Hansen from the Pentecostal Assembly had prophesied 4 years before we got there, would you believe it? And anyway, and fulfilled the prophecy when we were there, somehow, by the mercy and the grace of God, God turned me over to the Bible. And it's like I couldn't read it enough. Day and night. I mean, I would have, if I would have had a way to listen to it, I would have done that too. And I read it, and I read it, and I laughed, and I cried, and I read it, and I... it was like I was born of the Word. And the Bible tells us that, you know, that we're being born not of corruptible seed, but of the incorruptible by the Word of God. That's what the Bible tells us in Peter. And so anyway, but here's the other part of this thing. We slowly began to see the leaven and the corruption and exactly what we're talking about, what he was talking about here. After a while, what happens when you put the leaven in the bread? Does it reach, or in the dough, does it reach everywhere, or does it miss some?
It reaches everywhere.
It goes everywhere. Beware of the leaven, or the doctrine of the whoever. If it's not God's word, and according to God's will, and whatever, it is not God's word. Be aware of it, because here's what happens. It will creep into your spirits and your souls and your lives and your everything about you until it overtakes you. There came a point when Duane and I talked about it, and I said, we said, I can't see anything here in this whole system that agrees with the Word of God. We couldn't see anything. What had happened? The leaven effect. A little wrong never produced any right. A little wrong produces more wrong and more wrong and more wrong and more wrong. Once you get into false doctrine, you're on your way to lots of false doctrine.
That's good.
Do you follow what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
And so, I have been, over the years, thinking, well, you know, there's a lot of good in that church. Well, there's some problems, but there's a lot of good. And then another church, you know. Well, you know, there's a lot of good in that church. And you know what? A little leaven leavens the whole lump. Eventually, the good is replaced by worse, or the whatever, you know. Lot pitched his tent towards Sodom and Gomorrah. Lot was a righteous, the Bible calls him a preacher of righteousness. But apparently his preaching of righteousness didn't do a lot for those around him. Apparently it didn't even do the right ministry to his wife. She turned and looked back because she wanted what was back there and turned to a pillar of salt. And I look at it and I'm thinking, you couldn't find 10 righteous in that whole great big city? Why? Beware of the leaven. Because that's what leaven does. And when we got filled with the Holy Spirit, and the pastor's wife, and I still remember the little scene that took place, and anyway, she was upset. Because her husband, we prayed with him to get filled with the Holy Spirit, because he wanted it. But she didn't. And she was irate. You know, she said, you guys should go, if you want to be a Pentecostal, you go to a Pentecostal church. This is a Lutheran church. And I was telling somebody about that, and they said, well, can't Lutherans receive the Holy Spirit? Well, I did. But anyway, as I have, I tell you what, I'm gonna sit down or fall down. And as I have been the last couple of days looking at this thing, I realize how, you know, when the Bible says, when Jesus prayed and says, you know, he says, sanctify them which I, when I looked up in the concordance, to be sanctified means to be separated unto yourself. That's what it means there. Separate them unto yourself by your truth, or through your truth. And I thought, how else can that happen? If it's not God's truth, how does it happen? And then, is there other truth besides God's truth? That's a trick question.
I'll say no.
That's what I'd say also.
I'll say no.
And we because we think, well, there's things that are, you know, two and two are four. That's truth. But of course, God came up with that.
And it don't get you to heaven.
Huh?
And that doesn't get you to heaven.
No. No, but the thing is, if it is not God's truth, I don't want it. And there are some things that are not necessarily in here that are truths, and we know that. But I tell you what, it's there because God made it that way. Anyway, I'm not through, but I will sit down. Or fall down, like I said.
Well, I saw something this morning, but before I get to that, that kind of goes along with what Keith was just bringing. I'm just going to share a little. I was sitting in my pew, and a little bit before the song service was going to end, and Chuck came by, which he's always walking around, you know. And he stopped and he said, Jesus' footprints are on this earth. And he says, and when he comes, we need to be walking in them.
Good.
Was that good?
Yeah.
So I have a. He's told a few times that he's apologized because when he lived in Minneapolis and God had moved on them to go to Seattle, that he created a huge bunch of weather and everything else. Well, I'm here to testify that God answered prayer for me from a couple weeks ago, probably three, whatever. I asked for prayer because I said, I could use a little more income because things had dropped off. Well, that came in the form of three big snowfalls. Now, I was kind of looking for other outside work. I didn't have enough. So you have all suffered for my sake because God was gracious. Because it's interesting, because the snowfalls were as great as they were, a few of the ones that accounts I'd had in the past that I wasn't doing as much because they were kind of taking care of their own because it wasn't that big or whatever. Well, these were big enough that everybody wanted their driveway done, Plus an extra one that I didn't have before because they were out of town. But so praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for hearing that prayer at the sake of all the rest of you. I got up and I sat out and I was having a cup of coffee and I thought, well, I'm going to read some word. And I just opened up and I read in Isaiah for quite a while. And by the way, I think everyone should go read this. I just happened to open up to chapter 45. And if you read 45, maybe 6, whatever, as long as you kind of go along, you cannot believe how many times God says who He is and what He does and what He controls and everything that He made and created. It's repeated continually. One God, no other God beside me. I've made everything. I change hearts. I do, It's incredible. So then I, for some reason, stumbled into Daniel. And a couple years ago, I was reading in the Old Testament. I'm saying probably a couple years ago because time goes so fast, And I was reading, and Daniel is pretty much a book of prophecy for the most part. And this one little instance is when he's he's got a burden upon him to be praying for forgiveness for his sins and for the forgiveness of Israel, you know, and all that they're doing, and he's crying out to the Lord. And it says, "Oh my God," this is in 9:18. "Oh my God, incline your ear and hear. Open your eyes and see our desolations and the city which is called by your name. For we do not represent our supplications before you because of our righteous deeds, but because of your great mercies." Amen. You know? So then it says, "O Lord, hear, O Lord, forgive, O Lord, listen and act. Do not delay for your own sake, my God, for your city and your people are called by your name. Now while I was speaking, praying, and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel, and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God, for the holy mountain of my God, yes, while I was speaking in prayer, the man Gabriel," I thought, here's a discussion for Wednesday night. "The man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, reached me about the time of the evening offering. And he informed me and talked with me and said, 'O Daniel, I have now come forth to give you skill to understand. At the beginning of your supplications, the command went out, and I have come to tell you, for you are greatly beloved.'" That wasn't there the first time I read it. "Therefore, consider the matter and understand the vision." So, it gives us, well, I suppose I should read it, because 70 weeks are determined for your people and for your holy city to finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, to make reconciliation for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Know therefore and understand, clear this out a little bit here, that from the going forth of the command to restore and build Jerusalem, now this is what's interesting, until Messiah the Prince, there shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks, the street shall be built again in the wall, even in troublesome times. And after the 62 weeks, Messiah shall be cut off. So, the reference I'm going to make here, it's speaking of when Jesus came, right? Mm-hmm. And then he's evidently resurrected, you know, when he's being cut off. "But not for himself, and the people of the prince who is to come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary." Now, this is not speaking of Christ. "The end of it shall be with a flood." And I remember writing in here of false doctrine. And then as I was sitting here this morning, after I'd read this at home, I thought, yes, that makes sense, because when Christ was resurrected, he left, you know, the disciples were left, and the word was definitely going out, and the gospel was pure at that time. But what's happened since? Immediately, you know, this flood came of false doctrine that we're dealing with today, you know, that we're trying to get free of. So I'm not going to finish the end of that there. But then over here, Daniel again was praying and fasting and whatnot. "Suddenly a hand touched me, which made me tremble on my knees and on the palms of my hands. And he said to me, 'O Daniel, man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak to you and stand upright. For I have now been sent to you.' While he was speaking this word to me, I stood trembling. Then he said to me, 'Do not fear, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come because of your words.'" Now, we've been talking about that, you know, a few different times. And then it says, "But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. And behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I had been left alone there with the kings of Persia." Now, all of a sudden, I was thinking, this isn't a battle of swords and whatnot. And I'll tell you right now, this is only supplication on, you know, my part. You see if it maybe registers with your spirit. And I thought, so now, come on, you got Gabriel and Michael, two of the, you know, most powerful angels of God there is. How can they be withstood 21 days? And I started thinking, so now, Israel at the time was not, you know, following their God like he wanted them to be following them. So I thought, so you got all these, Satan and his army, fighting and standing before God, showing how they don't deserve anything, they have failed you, they don't want you, but you got this one man praying for them. And it's like they're having interchange, and every time they're bringing accusations, either Gabriel or Michael are going, yes, but we have Daniel who is right and righteous before God. Yeah, but that's only one man, you know. This is crazy. I don't know where this is coming from. And so you have this battle going on, and it took 21 days before those two angels could break through to come to Daniel. I don't know if that makes sense at all in the spirit to you.
Yes.
Because that's the only way I could see how warfare is going on in the heavens, you know. And we are always the thing that's between Satan and God and Christ, because he hates us, because God provided for us a Savior, and he doesn't like Jesus for sure, you know, because he defeated him. And so all of a sudden, I think I'm going to keep that in the back of my mind when I'm thinking of, you know, and it says today we battle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. You know what? Right now, that same battle could be going on. Because of the false doctrine that has been for 2,000 years, or not all of it, but along the way it's all come in. And now God has decided maybe he wants to do what he did in Daniel's time, what he prophesied in Daniel's time, to finally break this hold and dissipate the flood that has been there all this time. There's another, I read in another place, and I don't remember where it is. I don't know if it's later in Daniel or somewhere else. But it said something about, and there'll be the king of Greece. And in the, you have to be reading around it because it's talking about kingdoms, and then there'll be this kingdom, the king of Greece. And it says there also that he will come in, and it mentions a flood. And it's like it's speaking of Satan being subtly hidden in those kingdoms, you know, which he's in quite a few of them that are there. But because he's behind everything that is not truth and that is darkness and not light. So that's just a crazy thing that come up this morning. And, you know, you can take it for what it's worth, I guess.
Just to tack a little bit onto what Ken was bringing, there have been times that I've been interceding. You know? And what it has reminded me of is pushing a car that is stuck in the snow, you know, getting behind that thing, you know. And it's funny, you know, you're pushing a car that is stuck in the snow, and you're going no place. You're just not making, and it's just not working. Someone comes along, joins you. Hey, that car comes right out. You know. And I'm thinking of that in terms of our, you know, the kind of impact that Daniel had in that instance. You know. And that we can too. And my. If there is some battle, some big battle, some 21-day type battle that's going on, Let's join that thing. Let's not be dull of hearing. Let's not be lazy and sleeping and slumber. Let's join that thing. I point the finger and the three of them point back at me. Getting lazy in the spirit is so easy. So easy. I know it better than the opposite, But I want things to change.
Well, Keith was sharing this morning, and I was getting beaten down. Just one little thing, and it just screws everything up. Off just one little bit, and you're toast. You can be 99.99999% right, but no, you got this, and you're done. And I'm like, well, that's encouraging. That's uplifting. I'm really excited and on fire for God today. But then the brother gets up and starts talking about Daniel. And he points out how just one can overcome all of that. Just one. But what was good about that, because it really speaks to my heart, is there's this battle going on. And it takes time. Well, I prayed, why isn't this fixed? Did you wait 2 or 3 decades? I mean, if Daniel and Gabriel take 21 days, how long should it take you? Probably more than 5 or 6 seconds. So you go, okay, why is it? And why is this battle? Why is the enemy fighting so hard? Because this is all he's got to do. Take a soul. Take someone out. So then I start contemplating a little bit more, we've got this revelation, And how special does that make us? Doesn't. Zip. Nada. God is just amazingly wonderful. He shares his grace. And then I thought a little bit, Daniel is even before, there's faith there because that was even before Christ. And the Old Testament is really good at this. If you look, it's like you've got Job and you've got Daniel and you've got people who show just faith that has no understanding. They're just hanging on to this thing and they just won't let go. And it's not because of something they've been taught or not, they just believe. So then I kind of go, well, what's my excuse? We sometimes sit back and we say, we have the benefit of looking at the entire gospel. And still we come up short. And still we don't show that kind of faith. And we let our brain get in there and try and reason. I've been on this millstone for a while now. That should be good enough. There you go. Good enough for who? Good enough for you, maybe. Because you think you got things to do. God's like, I don't know. I haven't seen enough. I don't know where your heart is. Are you really looking for the truth? Or are you just trying to do it to look good? Are you doing it because you think you should? So think a little bit about the 2 or 3 things that have been said this morning and stack them together, because I believe it's really from God. We've been told that we need to repent. We've been told we need to have patience. We've been told we need to have faith. We've been told that we need to diligently seek that, because just a little bit off and you miss. So what do? you go back. A little bit of faith, all the faith you can muster, diligently seeking. Meditate day and night. And why do you do that? Because he'll honor that. And because if you're off just a little bit, you miss. So it's like, you know, and just one. You know, every now and then we get disappointed that there's not a great throng of people all yelling hallelujah at the same time. God certainly doesn't need that. If you need that, that's probably because you're lacking in faith. I want to feel good that 100 other people are thinking the way I am. I don't want that at all. I want me thinking of what God wants me to think. Mm-hmm. Beyond that, that's just gravy. If you can be that shining example that other people will follow because they see God in you, glory. It's not you, it's God in you. And that's what, you know, that's what we need to be doing. Yeah, and it is interesting that Daniel references Gabriel as a man. Form of the man. And I did a quick search, and I think the king of Greece is Daniel 8:21.
When I walk up here, just look the other way. It'll be to your own benefit. If I fall, come and grab me and help me up back up. In Ephesians, it says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers." And my question is, how many people know that? How many churchgoers know that?
Not enough.
Not very many. And then in verse 17, and one of those that stands out, it says, "Take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God." Our weapon against the devil is God's Word. Hidden like leaven inside of us and developing until we become, you know, is there one that says, and the shield of faith? Well, anyway, there's a scripture in James. It says that effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. And that would have, you know, that was talking about Elijah, basically, that little setting. But Elijah prayed, and for 3.5 years it didn't rain. I don't know that I would have been thinking about it, would have been personally happy or whatever, because I prayed and it didn't rain. But anyway, if God told you to pray that it don't rain, that's God, that's what he wants. So you do what he wants. But anyway, it says, submit to God, resist the devil. And you know what? We saw demonic warfare of some nature. I don't even know what we saw. Because what we see in the Bible is not exactly what we saw. Or there's something goofy in my looking somewhere. Because it was like it was a different thing, and yet God was behind it. God set it up. God did it. And people are still, that every so often they'll say, you know, we're still free because of the deliverances that we got. And so, but at the same time, there's a demonic outfield. I don't know what the right word is. There are so many demons and so many things that have to be taken care of. I wrestled, I don't even know how to say it, but I battled against the spirit the other night, and I thought I was going to lose. It was that severe. And then God lifted it. But you know, we have to remember something. Jesus said, you can do nothing without me. We have to get him engaged in these battles. But if we don't know who he is, and we're not recognizing his words or whatever else, how do we get him involved?
That's right.
And that scripture, I don't know if about the man, Gabriel. How did he get away with being called a man? Or Melchizedek. How does he get away? He didn't have a father or mother. How did he get away with being called a man? But anyway, I'm getting off my train of thought here, but I had a lot to say about the Lebanon. I want to avoid adding leaven to it.
Yes.
Because God's word is truth.
Amen.
And my word, you know, when we see doctrines of the churches that are conclusions of men, I can tell you what, they have help getting them. When they vote on doctrines, they have help with the votes. And it's not from Russia, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. The devil is just waiting. See, what happens, we have a problem that we see in 1 Corinthians 2, where it says, natural man cannot receive the things of God because they're foolishness. So when the truth is foolish to God, or to men, to a lot of the church. Anyway, I don't know where I'm at. That's the time to sit down, isn't it, Charlie?
I think the Spirit wants to spark something today. I think it wants to increase faith in us. After reading that in Daniel and then Charlie sharing, you know, it's like I thought, oh, I want to start interceding. But I'm weak, so I'm going to need help. But, you know, if you think about what happened after Christ and the disciples and the apostleship and the word went out, the gospel was presented, and slowly after that, this flood came, and then there was like this period of dark ages. Think about this now. It went from them doing everything they did, people coming into the kingdom, to just complete opposite.
Yes.
Darkness ruled, whether the church or not, because, you know, and that was such a pronounced flood of, had to be a wrong doctrine. I mean, look at what they were doing, killing each other and everything else in the name of the Lord. And that went on for years, and then and you got this thing building the whole time. And then I started thinking, but think about this. In most of our lives, God has done some works. Good works, like Azusa. That was a while back, you know. And then there was some other big move. Oh, when their healings were, you know, with Billy Graham and different other ones that were raising people out of wheelchairs for polio and everything else. There was all kinds of miracles going on for a time. Then it was like taken away again, you might say. Now, God's behind all this, of course. But it's it's like, and he would make these moves and people would come in, but why didn't they keep going? Because I think every time God tried to move his people a little more into the Word, they'd only get so far.
Yeah.
And then he knows things like this. I mean, it's kind of hard to say these things knowing that God knows, and why didn't he just do it? You know, well, it's somewhat us, you know. And so then we got more things happening after that. And then it got, you know, there was different, what do you want to say, moves of God around the world and in the United States and powerful stuff. And people were coming in and there was praise and there was worship. But it always was tainted. It always got to be either if there was a lot of praise and worship, then the focus was all on that and it got to be almost an idol. So all of this, if you think about since the Dark Ages, and I know there was people that never left the Lord in a good way all that time for the last 2,000 years. I know there's been people that were still there just like the 7,000, you know, that God said he had. He's had people all the time. But I was thinking, so many things have happened in the last 70, 80 years. How close are we? How close are we getting? And now, all of a sudden, God wants his word to be known. I mean, he really wants it to be known. Think about what he's brought us to so far. He wants truth. He wants the Holy Spirit, his Spirit, teaching men. And I mean that Spirit only, teaching men. That's never been pronounced before, I don't believe. I've never heard of that in, you know, the recordings of history of, you know, when God was moving with things. That's just become relevant right now. What does that mean? That means God wants something.
Yes.
It's profound. Now that I'm thinking on it just this morning, it's profound. It's I mean, and it's possible we may not see the very end. You know, think of poor Daniel. He went through all that, and at the end the angel says, but you're not going to get to see what's going to happen in the end. But you know what? I'm to tell you right now today, Daniel's fine with that because he's with the Lord. But you think of his Spirit. I mean, and I've read him, and I just go, Lord, how can there be a man like that? I'm so far from that, you know? I mean, he was fasting and praying and not eating and just, and his heart was always for the people, you know? He never, and when he went through all that he went through, he never got away from the Lord. He never thought, Lord, why? And think, and we were talking about the faith. See, the faith we should have today should outshine Daniel by gazillions. Well, you know, that's a crazy word. But because he's back there and he had so much faith in his God, he went into a furnace. You know, I mean, come on. Are we there? And here we are in this age with the redemption and the blood of Jesus Christ and with the Holy Spirit. Well, don't feel bad, necessarily, because God's going to do the work. He's going to do something as great as that or greater. I would say greater, because I think it's coming to the end. And, I mean, there's been cases where people were, like, in the Congo or wherever, and they were Christians, and these guys came in and they were going to shoot them, and all of a sudden they couldn't fire their rifles. That's about like being in thrown in with the lion, you know, Dan. So things like that have happened in our lifetime or just before it. So what is coming? We got to have faith to believe that what is coming is going to come. And we should pray that way, and we should be interceding for the church. You know? Because they're not all lost. You know, there's so, and Daniel, he wasn't going, well, maybe he was praying for all of Israel, you know, and they weren't all in a bad place, but it takes that kind of intercession that reaches out so that everybody can feel the touch of the Lord, you know. And they probably all got touched. Some probably went the good way and some didn't. Some probably still, you know. But for the most part, God, I know because it tells later and in other prophets that God always at one point goes, now I'm going to bless you. Even though you've been totally against me for 100, 400 years, I'm going to bless you now. Because I just, my grace and my mercy can't help it. I want my people. He wants his people. He wants you. He wants me. He wants lots of others, thousands. Like Chuck mentioned, you know, what is the earth? That was another thing he said right after he told me the one. He said, well, it's billions of people. First he started lower, and then he ended up with billions of people that will have salvation. And that's what we need. And you know what? Bless you, Lord, for keeping Chuck.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Because how does a guy have thoughts like that? Well, because he's in tune in the Spirit.
Amen.
So I hope this just totally affects me more than you, to be selfish. Because I want to be changed. And I want to start interceding and praying and having the faith that's not there yet, that should be, maybe, or in God's time will be there. Let's put it that way. So just really be encouraged. Be encouraged that, you know, we could be in a time that is just could be glorious. Or the beginning of a glorious time. Who cares, you know, as long as we're doing the will of the Lord.
Boy, I want to bring the amen to that.
Yes.
You know, you bestir yourself. Bestir yourself. And there surely are many of God's people who are dormant. But dormant is different than dead. Dormant, you get waked up and you go from dormant to active. And that just plain can happen. It just plain can happen. I was thinking about an avalanche. Mm-hmm. An avalanche is a little rock, you know, bumps against another little rock, and both little rocks are rolling, and then they hit a medium-sized rock, and that dislodges, and then you got an avalanche. You got an avalanche. And I would like to be one of those little rocks. I want to do that. I want to do that. So, let's consider what has been brought this morning as a challenge. Consider it as something that is a call to action, whatever. And consider it something that will get you a little out of the ordinary, your day-to-day, regular, you know. Once it gets going, oh my, it's funny to call it fun, but among other things, it is fun, you know. When stuff is going on in the spirit, But it's good, good, oh, so good, so good. And, well, we do have an enemy that wants to keep us lodged in place, keep that little rock where the little rock is staying and not doing much harm. Not doing much harm to the enemy or good for the Lord. Let's have things move.
A small testimony in the way of faith. I know why Chuck has these little revelations from God. It's because Chuck prays for them many times a week. Many times a week. I'm with Chuck and we're praying for God to show him his truth and to speak to his heart and to give him revelation. And he is. And it's so like the way God would work. Because in the natural, it wouldn't seem like any of this is happening. In the natural, we would go, no, nothing's going on there. But in the spirit, lots of things are going on there. And every once in a while, God lets us see that. So, if you heard the exhortation to have faith, that's your proof. Because God is answering prayers all the time. The bigger question is our faith big enough to understand that it's been answered? Are we able to see it with God's eyes? Or are we still trying to fit it into how we want it to be? Because it's never important how we want it to be. It's only important how he wants it to be. And so I was blessed that we shared that. But I know, because I've seen it, that God is caring for each and every one of us. And we just don't know how that's going to manifest later on. But we do know he's faithful. And I do know he's increasing our faith. We just have to grab onto it.
Did all the saints say?
The Bible tells us that he that endures to the end, the same will be saved. And one of the things that is vital is the consistent heart. And I don't know exactly how to say that, but and the truth is, we can't see what God sees. And there are a lot of people that God has, you know, hopefully we're some of them. You know what I mean? Hopefully we're some of them. And I do believe, just like Ken brought out, I think that we have been given a major, major revelation of the Word of God. And I
I think that's what Clarence, what got a lot of Clarence to see. And because he was such a champion of God's word, he loved it. And God allowed him to see that somehow. And I don't think that we have even begun to get the vision of what of God's word. I don't think we've even begun. We're getting a little bit of a taste, and we're getting some things. And I got a had a major experience yesterday, last night, this morning. I don't know, at some point, just on the leaven aspect of it, and realizing that the leaven doesn't, you know, the word that is that has been from the Pharisaical end of the thing is not doing it. God wants truth. He wants truth. And the thing he wants is he wants you and me, and whosoever will, to have a love for his truth. He wants us to love it. Let's come up to the front. Oh.
Song.
You poor thing.
Okay, I had some. No. Okay. Don't really know why I'm saying this, but I'm going to say it. I'm sitting here and the Lord's just keeps saying the first shall be last, the last shall be first, and we're not going to really worry about that because we're not going to care for first or last because it's, in the scheme of things, it's not going to matter. But as I was sitting there, this mental picture of the Lord was, he's going around and, you know how when you stick your head in a box or something and you're looking in at something? Well, the Lord was looking around and he was going through church to church and he was looking down. And he kept looking to find if he was there. He was going from church to church. He couldn't find himself in any churches, many churches. He wasn't there. He was looking, am I in that church? Am I in that church? Am I with you people? No, I'm not. You need to bring me back to your churches. You're forgetting the most important part of what you're sitting in a church for. And he is really calling out, going, he's like so ready to just do the things that we keep asking for, but mostly the things he keeps asking us for. He wants to see the miracles done because these are his miracles. He doesn't want anybody else to take credit for them. He doesn't want to be on a billboard that says, how much was your tithing? How many Bible studies did you go to? How many word studies did you do? What did you do? He wants us to find him and to follow him. And he's just waiting to just throw up those blessings on all of us. And he's looking into each church and trying to find himself. And what he's doing and what... And I guess I don't know what I'm doing, but he's saying, you guys have looked through here and thank you for finding me. But you're not done. Keep looking. It's not for fame and glory, because the only fame and glory is his. And we're gonna see that more and more because there's just this big thing that's happening, and I have no idea what it is, but she just wanted me to tell you that the first will be last, the last will be first, and we're not really going to care. So, there you go. Okay, are you getting up? I have no idea.
Just as far as we're coming up.
Okay.
Yeah.